Let's begin by recalling the beautiful image from yesterday's gospel, Jesus' response upon seeing the huge crowd of people who invaded the retreat center that they went to, the deserted space. It wasn't deserted when they got there, but Jesus' response was, his heart was moved with pity for the crowd because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That's always Jesus' attitude toward the sheep. He sees us as needy, wounded, hungry, lost, in need of a shepherd. And he's here to provide guidance to us. Today's readings remind us that even though Jesus is a good shepherd, the sheep are not all that interested in being led. This explains why in yesterday's gospel he's so compassionate and in today's gospel he's so harsh. The scribes and Pharisees ask for a sign, and his heart is not moved with pity for them. He says to them in reply, "An evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet." It seems like a completely different person. Where's the compassionate shepherd? Well, he's the same compassionate shepherd, but the sheep are not seeking his guidance. In fact, they think they are shepherds and he should follow them. So that reversal is what provokes this rebuke from Jesus. In yesterday's gospel, the people were seeking. They were humble. They were needy. Now, maybe they went overboard. They got there before him, and that wasn't exactly what he would have planned, but their hearts were in the right place. Most of you are parents, and you know how it is. And children make lots of mistakes, and they need a lot of guidance. When a child is trying to do what's good and messes it up, it's very easy to guide him or her. Very easy to correct, because you say, "Oh, son, you know, you shouldn't have done it quite like that. Try doing it this way." And then he'll say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I learned." But the attitude of the child who deliberately disobeys, it's a lot harder to deal with. Because when you correct him, he gets angry and defensive. And then you have a stubborn sheep instead of a humble sheep. Well, this is the difference between yesterday's crowd and today's scribes and Pharisees. The question here is whether they should have a sign or not. They ask for a sign. Jesus has performed many, many signs. And they ask for another one. You can see there's something wrong with them, not with Jesus. There's a similar problem in the Israelites who have just left slavery. In fact, they're on their way out. And in today's first reading, we hear about what happened. Today and tomorrow go together. The marvelous account of how God saved the Israelites from the whole Egyptian army. In today's reading, the army is following them out, you know, ready to pounce on them like a big cat on a small mouse, and they're terrified. In tomorrow's reading, we'll see what happens. The Red Sea parts, they pass through, and the Egyptian army, the whole army, is wiped out. So today and tomorrow go together. But you see, the attitude of the people is fear, lack of trust. In fact, they claim that they were better off in slavery than leaving slavery. They're not easy sheep to guide. And Moses, as we know from the whole book of Exodus, Moses as a shepherd had a very difficult job. Now, this incident of the rescue from slavery is the defining moment of the Israelites as a nation. We know that they're descendants of Abraham, and they were the chosen people even before this. But those years in Egypt united them in suffering, and then the rescue from suffering united them in a people that really belongs to God. This rescue through the Red Sea, this rescue by the blood of the Passover lamb, makes all the difference. Those who are rescued by the blood of the lamb, those who are rescued by passing through the waters, are the chosen people. The great sign then has two dimensions to it. The sacrifice of the lamb, that's a sign. It's the fact that they were saved and the firstborn of the Egyptians were destroyed. And then the sign of the Red Sea, which for us is a symbol of baptism. So baptism and the Eucharist, the lamb and the water. These are the signs. And we don't need any more. The sign, I could say the unique and essential sign for Christian faith is the resurrection. If we have the resurrection, if we believe in Jesus risen from the dead, we've got the whole package. If we don't have the resurrection, we don't have anything. So that's why Jesus says, I'm not going to give you any sign except the sign of Jonah. Jonah, who symbolically died and on the third day rose again, swallowed up by the great fish, spit out on shore on the third day. It's a sign of death and resurrection. That's the sign Jesus says. That's the only one I'm going to give you. It's the only one you need. It's funny that he says that, because even after this gospel, he does lots more signs. Healings, multiplication of loaves, walking on water, all sorts of things. But those, in a sense, don't make any difference if we don't have the resurrection. Those are just confirmations, confirming signs. But the essential sign, the sign of Jonah, is death and resurrection. That's why the experience of the Israelites is the perfect preparation for this. The death of the lamb leads to the life of the people. It's a death-resurrection image. The death of the Egyptians in the sea and the new life of the Israelites passing through the sea, a symbol of baptism, these are all the same sign. That God is a God of life, that God destroys death in order to give us new life. If we believe that, we have life. We have life in Christ. We have eternal life. If we don't believe that, no amount of signs, no number of signs, no nothing else is going to make that big a difference to us. So that's the essential element of the lesson today, the sign of the resurrection. Now, Jesus adds something, another dimension of the sign of Jonah. It's related to death and resurrection, but it's applied to the problem of sin. See, death and resurrection is the 3 days and three nights in the whale. But then there's this other dimension, which is the Ninevites, who at the preaching of Jonah, they didn't know that he died and rose again. They didn't know about the resurrection. All they knew is that he was preaching and they repented. So that's another dimension of the sign. Repentance at the preaching of the word. He says this to the scribes and Pharisees, who do not repent when they hear the word. They harden their hearts against Jesus. So the sign of repentance is death to sin, life in God. Mercy of God gives us new life. Without repentance, we can't rise. We're not willing to let go of sin. So we're stuck there. It's like the Egyptian, like the Israelites, stuck in Egypt, or stuck in the mentality that Egypt was better than going into the desert. That's the sign of unrepentance. When we're not repentant, we cling to sin. We stay enslaved. And if we decide to stay enslaved, what good is the liberation? He can't force us out of Egypt, or he won't. He can't force us through the Red Sea. He can't force us to believe. So this is why he's so harsh in his words to the scribes and Pharisees, evil and unfaithful generation. Okay, Jesus is greater than Jonah, far greater, infinitely greater. He's greater than Solomon, far greater, infinitely greater. We have this gift laid right before us. Let us be good sheep and respond with faith and love to our good shepherd.